Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network, Suboptimal Radio.
We must be really good, honestly. We must be handsome. We must be so sexy.
It's Rog, and we've made it to the end of a crappy week. Yes, this weekend, we Champions League final, and it's been honestly such a dark week personally and nationally. I'm holding on to this game like it's a life preserver amidst the stormy sea of the past savage 7 days. And I want to begin by saying that the only important thing in the world right now is this, that my heart and everyone at Men in Blazers, all of our hearts go out to those who've lost loved ones in Uvalde, Texas. Just lost them in the most nonsensical, darkest way. I can't fathom what they're feeling. To bury a child as a parent is a forever agony. And this is a moment when truth and justice must prevail. I love America. I've written about my love of America. I'm completely aware that no nation is perfect. But this flaw, it's almost willed, a truly self-inflicted wound. And I know America was built on a story of individualism, a proud story. And I remember thinking about this back during the height of lockdown when I made that HBO podcast for Succession. And the first interview we did then was with Brian Cox, a remarkable bloke, another gent who was born in Britain but chose to come here to live in America. He from Scotland, from Dundee. And we talked at the top about how the north of England and Scotland, working towns, hard working towns, were all built on the ethos of community, the collective. I think you see that in the football we watch week in, week out together, that it's honestly what's alluring to so many American sports watchers, the sense of community that surrounds football, that's built up over decades surrounding these teams. But the American ethos of individualism, ultimately, it's what attracted, or part of what attracted, both Brian Cox and myself to move to the United States. But we were getting ready to start the interview, and Cox talked about how he's come to realize that individualism unfettered can only lead to dark places. Essentially, individualism without empathy is just chaos. And this week, I've thought a lot about this moment of reckoning for all of us. And I do hope, dear listeners, that all of us can think, act and lead and not permit ourselves to repeat the cycle of tragedy rubbernecking, where we go from shock, moral outrage, we post our Insta stories, and then somehow we just move on. And we've all been guilty of it. I just say to better days ahead for all of us, with immense love to all the teachers who listen to this podcast today and every day. I know there are so many of you, just judging from our correspondence in our email mailbag. Big, big love to you all and courage. And on a personal note, quickly, I want to thank each and every one of you GFOPs, and there have been so many, who have written in with messages of love for my dog, Tony Hibbert, who, as I think you know, was in a serious accident over the weekend. A spine was badly damaged was operated on. And after the Spotify Live on Wednesday, we all went to visit her, me and my kids. And, well, I'm happy to say she was alert. She was totally immobile post-op. And we've got to wait 5 or 6 weeks to find out if she can use her back legs again. Many of you pet owners listening will have been through this. I know that because you've written to me and your letters of love and insight have been much appreciated. I am trying to reply to all of them. Mostly I feel for Martin Scorsese, who is totally bereft. It's actually heartbreaking to watch. Lost his best friend, looking for her everywhere. It's like seeing Harry Kane without Sonny. Positive vibes only. I will tell you how it is when she comes home on Tuesday. And to the football. Sting me up, producer Jonah. Let's do this. I got your number. 646-450-9472. And I got your letter. WGFOB, the ball. And I got a that was a question about sports by Matthew in Los Angeles, California. Such a dreamy piece of music. Puts me in a Zen Pep Guardiola headspace every time I hear it. So nice, so good. Oh, you are listening to WGFOP Weekend Preview, the show where you call in your questions and I answer them like Everton play in the final game of a season after securing safety. Present in body, not really in mind. Call in your questions to 646-450-9472. That's 646-450-9472. And it will be your voice on the pod next week. You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting, Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke espresso blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. Let's do this with a little European Nights intro music. God bless, I love that song. And it's a reminder that you can hear the best preview of this incredible Liverpool against Real Madrid 2 Electric Boogaloo Champions League final in our European Nights podcast with my mate Rory Smith. And we unpacked it. We'll talk about it a little bit more today because it truly is an epic clash, overloaded with storylines. Liverpool's third final in 4 years. Madrid's fifth in nine. It really is the De Niro versus Pacino diner scene in heat of European matchups. Mo Salah's revenge game. Everton agent Mr. Carlo wants a blue, always a blue, facing up to the Reds to gain his payback for Istanbul. By the way, one note. We will be live on Twitch tomorrow watching this game. I hope with you, live and dangerous, 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Champions League final presented by Paramount Plus. Come and find us at twitch.tv/meninblazers. We'll be joined by massive Arsenal fan Josh Richardson. I love that man. Angel City FC co-founder, the magical Julie Ehrman. And from your Canadian national team, Kings of CONCACAF, that joyous footballing collective, the one and only Jonathan David. Can't wait for that. As for the game itself, it is a fascinating contrast to the 2018 clash, which featured a naive, still aspirational Liverpool, desperate to prove themselves. And they were armbarred, shell-shocked, shithoused by an uber-pragmatic, experienced Real Madrid, who in moments were absolutely transcendent. This Liverpool, though, of Alisson, Big Virg, Fabinho, and that front three, which is really a front five, plus Origi, they will dominate possession, they will dominate the initiative, and their ability to make the most of it will depend on the fitness of midfield witch Thiago. Klopp is saying he is training today, which hints that he will be fit to start. How he goes, I believe Liverpool will go. The battle for air supremacy is another one to watch between Trent and Vinicius Jr., that young Brazilian who scored twice when Madrid dumped Liverpool out of the quarterfinals last season. But in terms of this being Mo Salah's revenge game, I find it fascinating to listen to what Klopp had to say about that.
I don't believe in revenge. I don't think you... But I understand it as well. So it's not... I trust in it, but don't believe it. I don't think if you ever heard that... Sorry, that revenge is a fantastic idea. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, but we also, I understand it, but I'm not sure it's the right thing to do. And for us, it's... I understand that more, what Mo said, that he said, I want to put it right. In Germany, we say, you always meet twice in life. So, and that sounds more as a threat than it actually is. It's just like behave better in the first moment, because if you meet again, yeah, you will get the reception.
God, I love this approach to life. Actually, similar to one that Matt Lucas, the British comedian, came on our show and talked about. He was talking about Arsenal. He was talking about his life. He was talking about his career. He said, you meet everyone twice in life, once on the way up and once on the way down. Be aware of that and treat everyone accordingly. And I love the ethos. I love that approach to life. I do believe that's a life truth. But let's delve a little deeper into the Champions League with the next question.
Hey, Raj. This is Chris calling from South Jordan, Utah. Excited to see Fulham jumping back up into the Premier League this next year. Just sitting here pondering, a lot of debate about, are Messi and Ronaldo playing at the same time the two best ever? And I started to think, what about Pep, Klopp, and Carlo Ancelotti? Are we seeing some of the best managers of all time all competing against each other week in, week out, tournament after tournament? Interested to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Chris, oh, I love a city in America which is named after Pickford. I do wonder if there is a North Jordan. And if there is, was that name for Hendo? Email me, meninblazers@gmail.com. I need to know the full story. But look, at the highest level right now, football is won, as the Premier League shows us, by infinitesimal marginal differences. And managers often provide that difference. I often talk about the Trapattoni quote. The great Italian coach once said, a good coach can make a team 10% better, a bad coach 30% worse. And every coach I've spoken to in the modern game believes those percentages are very, 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 very off. It's much more than that. What a great coach can bring to a team. I mean, just look at Pep and Klopp, and now in the Premier League, we're blessed. Tuchel, Conte, Frank Lampard, I hear you all shout at your pod radios. Liverpool without Klopp are a shadow of the quadruple chasers they have been. City without Pep. I mean, all of those egos, competitive egos, suddenly unbounded. They'd be like a barrel without the hoops to bind it. But Ancelotti's actually a fascinating different case because he approaches coaching like a consummate global multinational CEO. He specialises in polished mega clubs, which makes Everton an even funnier just moment on his, a blip really on his LinkedIn. His job is to keep massive brands, global brands of football clubs humming by managing up, managing his bosses, managing his board, and stoically staying out of the limelight on the side of that field. And this run, this Real Madrid Champions League run of bedlam, of epic history seeping through to the present, of transcendent moments of alchemy, really a team of moments, a team content to sit compact and then erupt and furling chaos. Cole's been very clear when asked, what are you doing to conjure this? He's honest. He said, I don't know at times how they do it. I can't explain it. And he's also talked about how at times during this run, instead of giving team talks, he's turned to his experienced players and asked them what they do. What ideas did they have down the stretch? Which makes him the right manager for this Real Madrid. In a funny way, Real Madrid would not be here without his soft velvet touch with his experienced players, Modric and Kroos. I mean, combined age, what, 127? They look so monopaced through huge parts of the game and you start to wonder, are they a liability? Only for them to just turn and drop a dime from 50 yards and you're like, oh my God, your body is a wonderland. And then you look at the young talents who've grown in confidence under Carlo's experienced leadership. Vinicius Jr., who we revere, who is in almost every preview right behind Benzema in terms of Real Madrid's weapons. He's gone from a joke. He was a wasted young big buy who could not finish and he has become a lethal weapon. Indeed, him and Trent, as I said, that to me is the battle to watch. But everyone will be looking at Benzema, the rise and rise of this man who complicated, controversial, but in this campaign has really been a global circus act, repeatedly catching bullets in his teeth. That's what his goals have been. That awe-inspiring, the clinicality of them, the epic nature of them, the late showness of them all. And the thing about Real Madrid, surviving petro clubs, PSG, Chelsea, Man City, in such miraculous fashion, it's kind of granted their campaign a quasi-messianic undertone. Their wins have been that extraordinary. It's really remarkable, and that is why I believe they're almost playing with house money. This has been legendary, whatever happens. But Ancelotti will know if Liverpool don't win, this vaunted season of quadruple chasing human wonder and extreme endurance will just wilt, simply end with back-to-back weekends of disappointment like a beautifully ornate but punctured air balloon. How will it go? Ultimately, I find it hard to see beyond the Liverpool victory. Talked about this a couple of times this week. I've tuned in 38 times to watch Liverpool lose in league play this season and only emerged happy twice. And along the way, I think I've experienced Stockholm Syndrome. I've been watching Clark on Netflix, which I highly recommend. I adore that show. And all I can do ahead of this game is just marvel at the potent collective, the joyously potent collective that Klopp's built. But I kind of also think the final will be won by the fresher team. Real have rested starters for several weeks. Liverpool's front line, I think, are on game 70 of their season. Whether that freshness for Real is rustiness, it's hard to turn elite football on and off like they have. But ultimately, that will be the battle. I still believe Liverpool are going to win it and break my heart.
Liverpool FC is hard as hell. United, Tottenham, Arsenal. Watch my lips and I will spell, cause they don't just play, but they can rap as well.
Still love how he says Arsenal at the beginning to fit in the rhyme. Next question.
Hey Raj, this is Peter from Raleigh, North Carolina. 7 weeks ago, I called you to ask if Real Madrid might just be God's instrument to smite
petrodollar sports washing in the Champions League, and you told me to put in a good word for Everton. Well, Real Madrid won the treble over oil-soaked nation-state sports washers. We took their abundant reserves of oil and lit their funeral piles with them. I prayed for Everton on Premier League match days, and they pulled off a miracle. Congrats, my friend. But now that PSG have Mbappe and Manchester City have Haaland, I'm reminded of the words of Orson Welles. He said, if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. I wonder, Raj, if Orson Welles were alive today and looking at the state of European football, would he say, if you want a picture of the future, just imagine two oil-soaked, despotic, regime-backed teams hoisting every single trophy forever. Courage.
First of all, Peter from Raleigh, thank you. On behalf of all Everton fans around the world, your prayer clearly is what put us over the top. And your question's a good one. The Super League. God, the Super League. It feels like that was eons ago. It was only last April, just over a year, that evil land grab by, let's not forget, two of the teams in this final, Liverpool and Real Madrid, were both for different sporting reasons leading the idea to fend off the unassailable advantage petrostate teams, teams owned by Gulf nation states and then by oligarchs also with their infinite pockets. They, for all their riches, and Liverpool and Real Madrid, make no mistake, they are moneyed, rippled, moneyed muscles, but they couldn't compete with the petrodollars. And it's fascinating that they're in the final, the two of them. The UEFA president, Seferin, who cast himself as the good guy, our hero in the fight against the 12 Super League clubs' efforts to bury every other team and every other league alive. He will sit in his box between Florentino Perez, the Real Madrid president, a man who still wants the Super League, and I guess is the man who's still paying GoDaddy for the SuperLeague.com domain, which is still active online. Never give up hope, Florentino. And I'd also imagine John Henry will be the other side of him, for whom the Super League remains a real bruise. And part of me believes Seferin was so against the Super League solely because it was set up outside of his control. And he would love nothing more. Now UEFA has asserted itself and runs football across the continent again. He would love nothing more for a Super League-like thing to emerge from the Champions League. Always remember, Orson Welles also said, the enemy of art is the absence of limitations.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, Raj, this is Jacob Mack coming from the great state of Indiana. Big fan of Chelsea, so me and David will get along very well. Question for you about Brendan Aaronson and his move to Leeds United. How do you think he's going to get along there? And is he going to face the same kind of scrutiny that Christian Pulisic faces at Chelsea, being an American in the Premier League? Love you guys. Love your work, Raj, especially on the Banner Brothers podcast. It is a great listen for me. Thanks.
Jacob, you beautiful human being. Thanks for your kind words. And Banner Brothers, which you mentioned, by the way, will be broadcast in a Band of Brothers marathon, including bits interstitially from my epic podcast series, which was the joy of my life with producer J-Dubs to make last year. It will run on Memorial Day this Monday on HBO 2 in its entirety. It's one of my favourite days of the year. Look, Brendan Aaronson, I'm so bloody excited for him. What a kid, straight out of Medford, New Jersey. I felt incredible watching him sign for Leeds United in the Premier League for what Fabrizio Romano reported as $35 million, third most expensive player in Leeds club history. Just adored the notion of this young kid, footballing Timothy Chalamet, being managed by Racine, Wisconsin's Jesse Marsh, and playing for a team part-owned by the San Francisco 49ers group. Really, an incredible moment for the men's game in this nation. Let us revel in it all. And here is what Brendan Aaronson had to say about teaming up with the mighty Jesse Marsh.
The way that Jesse wants to play, I played under half a year with him there, and I learned a lot about the system and feel like I even flourished under that system, and I'm really excited to get back into it again. I think it's going to take my game to the next level. I heard about what the fans like about players here, and I feel like I can be that type of player here. You know, I'm a hard worker. I have this creative side to me, and I think that I fit this Leeds kind of recipe in a player. I want to do big things with Leeds. That's a dream of mine too, and to be around the players that we have at this club and to take this next step, it's just a dream to be playing in the Premier League.
How will he do? We have no idea. And when I posted Brendan Aaronson's photographs, his welcome photographs from Leeds on Instagram, I will admit, get deja vu from having posted Josh Sargent's Norwich welcome photos with such optimism this time last year, which is a reminder that success for the individual player is to a large degree about setting. And Leeds are coming off a season in which they imploded, falling from 9th to 17th. And the squad seemed small, exhausted. Jesse Marsh, God love him, did a doubly hard thing to do. He was the man who took over from the man, the forever legend, Bielsa, and took a team which was in free fall, beset by injuries mid-season, without having a moment of breathing space to make the team his own. And he did it just in exclamation point last day style. And let's be honest, Jesse's going to have a very short rope off which to work with the Leeds fans if the season does not start solidly. So that's context for Brendan. And it's pretty clear that Leeds, with their American ownership group, are keen on snapping up as many US internationals as possible. Jesse Marsh getting in his reps, managing the US men's national team before he manages the US men's national team. Which honestly, from a Leeds ownership perspective, super smart move. There is an opportunity to really build a team which has local delirious support and huge support across the Atlantic. Thus, Leeds are now linked to Serginho Dest. They should honestly offer Bamford for Pulisic. I think Chelsea, would Chelsea bite their arm off for that? It's a fascinating notion. He is a terrific ball player, Brendan Aaronson, a team-first footballer, a man with a penchant for executing the jaw-dropping in key moments. And my Lord, I hope he gets his opportunity to do that in Leeds. What a town, what a team. I hope he makes great memories there, and that we get to revel along the way. Stand up and sing for Leeds United. They are the greatest in the land.
Raj, it's Kevin from DC, supporter of Everton, and I gotta wonder, are you ready for this big game this weekend? You know, one of these games where this could affirm legacies, it could bring all kinds of glory to the club that wins it. You know, it's, you know, biggest stakes game in the world. So who do you have in this one, Forest or Huddersfield?
Kev. Your question made me laugh. Yes, championship playoff, massive game, Nottingham Forest versus Huddersfield Town this Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus, a game you contractually cannot mention without adding richest game in football to the conversation. Winner, of course, makes the Premier League. And while I love the Terriers, I really do love Huddersfield, I'm rooting for Forest fans, that once mighty club who spent 30 years in the wilderness, were rock bottom after 6 losses out of 7 games to open this season, been transformed by the arrival of detail-obsessed perfectionist Steve Cooper, their manager, and I hope Sunday is their day. Really, I love Huddersfield. It's a massive weekend for them. Their rugby team has a massive final in London. Their football team has a massive final in London. God bless the both teams. But my Lord, Forest fans, especially you, Cole Hudson, a gent who's been working with us to update our logos at Men in Blazers, I have a huge soft spot for any team who take Mull of Kintyre, one of my favourite songs of all time, one I sang to all of my children to get them to sleep, and adapt it into a football chant.
Here, massive United supporter. It's not been great times in Manchester, at least on the red side, but the season's over. A lot of ups, a lot of downs for many teams in the Premier League. Everton lives, Leeds lives, Burnley dies, such is life. But as I drive down the road, listening to an awesome version of Directions by Miles Davis, I just have to ask, what do you see in your crystal ball for the next season? Any predictions? I want to know. Courage and love.
Oh, Go, what can I tell you? Nothing right now, to be honest. There is so much to happen this summer in terms of transfers, coaching changes, ownership changes. I mean, how many of us saw Roman Abramovich relinquishing control of Chelsea when this season began? If that did not teach us anything, it's that we know nothing, we can see nothing, we can predict nothing. I'm also old enough to remember when Romelu Lukaku's second coming at Chelsea after 3 games was being hailed by fans as, quote, a cheat code. You know, football, like the world which surrounds it, is right now purely about chaos. And if it teaches us anything, watching football week in, week out, it's how little we know, can know, can really fathom or understand. And I truly believe more than ever, our world is about savouring the here and now. I say that as we all approach Memorial Day together. And I urge you, don't waste a second. Just revel in every moment. Savour those around you whom you love. All of which to say is, I was incredibly bloody moved to end this Premier League season by having the opportunity to spend time with Christian Eriksen. We're approaching the 1-year anniversary of his traumatic collapse on field while the world is watching. I've found his recovery and resurgence so bloody inspiring. Footballingly, yes, but there's a human too. And remember, 23andMe told me I am 3% human. Christian Eriksen is a utter reminder that we know nothing, we can predict nothing. The unexpected can change our world and turn it upside down. So I'll go. Let's play this show out with some Christian Eriksen, because I believe so much of life's truth is contained in his story, in his experience, in his tenacity. We will see you, I hope, tomorrow, Saturday, on twitch.tv/meninblazers, starting at 2:45 for our Champions League coverage. I can't wait to be with you and share that game with you. Until then, big love, courage, and here's Christian Eriksen. My guest today is, to me, the player of the season. We've always said that football is at its best when it transcends mere sports. And anyone watching this gent's life over the past 12 months, quite literally, he rose from the dead after suffering a cardiac arrest with the world watching, will know exactly what I'm talking about. Witnessing him returning to play the game he loves, rising harder and stronger to transform a team, has quite honestly been sports at its inspirational, purest, most uplifting best. It's been life-affirming to witness, and it's a true joy to welcome back Mr. Christian Eriksen.
Hello, America. Nice to see you on a Zoom call. Thank you.
Christian, it is so bloody good to see you. And I want to begin after your collapse at Euro 2020. On the way from the stadium to the hospital, you told your wife, Sabrina, that you may as well leave your boots behind because you won't be needing them again. But yep. 2 days later, you started to talk about rehab with your doctors. You began to feel a desire to return to the game you love. And after all you've been through, can you put into words your motivation? What made you realise you wanted to fight your way back into professional football?
It was definitely something with a few days with different minds and different thoughts of how you see things and what I could be able to do in the future. One of the first things that came up from the doctors was, you get an ICD, you can still do whatever you want. Then that really already changed my mindset to be able to play again. Obviously, there was something inside of me that wanted to be back, to be the footballer Christian again. But at the same time, it was also testing time. I didn't do anything by myself because I knew I needed someone beside me. If anything would happen, I need someone next to me. And the first aim was, I need to be safe. I need to have a life after football. It was not only football.
Italy has stringent rules banning players with cardioverter defibrillators. So last December, you and Inter Milan terminated your contract by mutual consent, and a number of teams were linked to you, Leicester, Newcastle, but you joined Brentford, who offered regular playing time, heavy Danish contingent in the locker room, Thomas Frank, who'd managed you in the Danish under-17s. But the Bees were in real relegation trouble at the time. How did you feel when you arrived? Was it excitement, I'm back? Or was there an element of fear of the unknown for you?
No, I think it was a bit of both. Personally, take away the position that Brentford win was more, I wanted to be back playing professional football again and see how I stand after you've been out with what happened and still 6 months or 7 months with no training with the team. Then you definitely feel like you need a bit of time to get back in shape and see where you stand footballly. In the end, I mean, it went quick. At Brentford, there's a lot of Danish people, so it did feel like a bit of coming home, and then at the same time to London. So that was pretty easy. And from day one at Brentford, I mean, it's been very impressive and something that's been very kind and been a very nice place to be.
February 26, 2022, 259 days after suffering that cardiac arrest on field.
A moment we thought couldn't possibly happen. Christian Eriksen making his competitive return to action.
There were Danish flags everywhere. Even the opposing players clapped you as you came on. But you look, on the outside, incredibly calm as you came on, Christian. Can you give us a sense of what emotionally was going on the inside?
Definitely think that game was the more nervous ones I've been involved in. For me as a person and for me as a footballer, to be able to come back and get the reception I got from the fans. One of them you need to tick before you really believe it. Obviously, we lost, but after it happened, it was really just joy.
Brentford had really been labouring creatively before your arrival, and your first assist came at a crucial time, March 12th, against then-relegation rivals Burnley. You took out three defenders with your run, conjured an alchemy with your left foot to take out the rest and set up Ivan Toney. How did that moment feel? Was it like any other assist, or were there different emotions for you?
No, I think a little bit different. The first time that you can see an assist on my name again. So just be able to be involved with the goals is something as a player I've always been and always feel like I need to be involved in. So for me to get an assist and winning against Burnley at the time was very crucial for the whole season for Brentford. So, I mean, it was just the perfect mix of everything, really get a good feeling going into the last few games after that.
Your first goal came at Chelsea.
It's Eriksen! They've turned it around!
And you began an incredible run of form, scoring for club and country. And I'm fascinated from a sports psychology perspective. how a near-death experience can impact a player's mental approach to the game. Because watching you, Christian, you seem like a player who was taking nothing for granted, who wanted to make every single moment matter.
Yeah, I think it's made me even more relaxed. I wasn't really stressed about football before, but I think you get an experience like this, you see things differently. You don't take anything for granted. The competitive side is still you want to win. At the same time, you just feel good at what you're doing. And I think there's a good mix of just feeling relaxed. And you see that very often in football. I mean, there's a lot of players and stress from the outside or stress from the result. It has an impact on your game. And if you are how I feel I am now, I'm even a better place than I were before, probably. Family was in a high place, but family is getting even in a higher place now of being involved with your kids and your family.
It was not just your play that was joyful, Christian. It was the way your opponents treated you. March the 5th, you're playing Norwich. Brandon Williams was about to fight a man. Realised that man was Christian Eriksen. And his fury instantly turned into a hug of admiration.
I remember everything of it. It was me doing a stupid foul or important foul for a counter-attack. And then, of course, he will get angry about it. I do think he wanted a good old fight. I'm not sure if he saw it was me, but I mean, I think he saw a guy smiling on the ground like, what are we going to fight for? This is a football game.
Are you aware how much your journey, even from those who you face as opponents, draws respect and admiration, Christian?
Definitely in the beginning. I mean, in the beginning, a lot of people were coming up to me and saying, thank you that you are back. Now it's getting more into the normal circumstances with the football focus, and they also look at me as a footballer again and not as the guy who had the incident that it was like that in a few first weeks.
Your manager, Thomas Frank, called your return.
Yeah, it's an ongoing fairy tale.
And with you, Brentford have surged creatively. They've lost just one of the 8 games in which you've started as we tape. The Bees fans sing at every opportunity, we want you to stay, we want you to stay. And you said when you joined Christian, your goal was to show, I'm a football player again. You have done that and then some. What do you want to prove now? How, where and why?
It's been a very welcoming and warm place to be. They took me in from the first day. Everyone from the fans at the stadium, from people at the training ground, from the teammates, from the staff, everyone has been really welcoming. And I'm pretty sure they are like that with everyone. With the help from the coach to be able to put me back in the team as quick as possible has been very good for me. When the results are going as they are, I mean, of course, they're feeling excited about it. So am I. You become better as a player, I think, if you win games. It's just as easy as that. It comes together. Where it takes me, I don't know. I'm a football player again, and I'll be thinking like a football player, but of course also as a family man. It will be a decision that's made on a football perspective and a family perspective.
You are a human being who has looked death in the eye and said, not today. You've returned to the game you love and you've become transcendent. What's the lesson about life you think we should all take from your journey?
Being happy at what you have and being happy with your life, I mean, is really something that can be taken away from you very quickly. Really be living in the moment and really enjoy the time you have with the ones you love close to you.
Hey Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.